the mercies of drought. We don't want to go through hard moments in our life. We don't like to go through drought seasons in our life. In moments whenever when it's difficult, we go through a hard time and we say, God, not again, like we've heard today, not again. But you know that there is mercy in times of drought. His mercies are always there, and it's the mercy of God that he sends drought sometimes in our life because we depend upon him. And I want to share to you with you this passage that is written in 1 Kings chapter 17. It's about Elijah. I love the stories of this man, and lately God's been just putting in my heart, I've been thinking a lot about this man. But it says this in Elijah, chapter 17, verse 1, in Elijah, the Tishbite of the Ahabites, the Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year except at my word. Verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastwards and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and it is will be that you shall drink from that brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Sometimes we in our life, we desire to obey God, amen? And God speaks to us, do this or do that, and we wanna do that with all of our heart. We say, yes, Lord. And that's what happened here in Elijah's heart. He has a word of warning to the nation. He has a word of warning what's about to come for the next season in their life. There's gonna be drought, there's gonna be no dew, no rain. And all of us know without water, we cannot survive. Without water, we cannot survive. So the Bible here says that God is promising Elijah, if you go by this brook, supernaturally, I'll bring you food. And there is a river that you can always drink water from. That sounds amazing. He's probably like, what is my tent? I'm gonna go move there. That's gonna be the safe haven for me because the famine is coming, the drought is coming, but I'm gonna be next to the brook. God is gonna provide for me supernaturally. Let's continue reading. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Verse 7, and it happened. Sometimes in our life, we can share our stories, and all of a sudden, there is this word that comes, and it happened, out of nowhere. And it happened. Depression got a hold of my family, and it happened. Backslidden children, and it happened. An accident, and it happened. A health emergency. And this is what happened in Elijah's life. It seemed like other people were struggling, but he was perfectly fine. God provided him food in the morning, in the evening, steak, right? With steak water at the brook, fresh water. But over here, one word changes everything. And it happened in his life. And sometimes my brother, my sister, we go through life and it seems like everything is perfect. God has promised us, God is leading us. God has promised us life. God has called us to whatever ministry you're in right now. God has called you to serve. And you're just living your life. And all of a sudden, and it happened one day. But God is still faithful. Because sometimes those moments when it happens, it's for a reason and for a purpose. For God to move us forward from that brook. For us not to get stuck all the days of our life at the brook. Whatever what happens in our life, we must believe as believers of Jesus Christ that it happens for a reason. It happens for a reason. In a moment, it might be hard to comprehend and to receive that. But when I look back in my life, everything that happened in my life, even the things that I do not like, even the things I'm ashamed of, even the things that I don't really like to talk about, but it happened. And now looking back, all of those things, God is faithful to bring it to a point in life when you can look back and say, it happened for a reason. It happened for a reason. Verse 7, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there has been no rain in the land. Oh God, can you imagine Elijah? I'm following you, I'm your prophet, I'm declaring your words. And you have sent me, you have promised me that you're gonna feed me, and you have promised me water, because food is good, but without water, I cannot survive. I need water for my body. I can't be dehydrated. God, what happened? But Elijah, he's following the Lord. And in a moment, things are drying up around him. But the mercy of God was there, because God knew. God knows every circumstance and every family. And he knew that there was a widow that she's preparing for a funeral. And the only way you can get Elijah to move from that comfortable place next to the brook, the only way he can nudge him to say, go to this family, they're preparing for a funeral. But you must go and bring a prophetic word to them now, a word of hope. I must dry this brook in exchange for you to have the power and the strength now and the authority to go forward where there is a need. My brother, my sister, and this is what happened in his life. The brook dried up. And you can say, God, did you fool me? You promised me water. What happened? Is this like a game that you're playing with me? No, it's mercy. It's mercy. It's the mercy of the Lord that in those moments, he shows up so we can go forward in his promises. And the Bible says that he came and the word of the Lord spoke through him to this family. And because they have believed, no longer they were preparing for a funeral, but they were eating just enough. Oil was not being gone. The flour was still there. Every time they go to get from the cupboards, everything looks the same each day as they go. But again, tragedy came into that home. And the son dies. Elijah, again, it seems like I'm facing something in my life that I cannot explain. But God is preparing him for what is about to come, that victory that he had on Mount Carmel. So often we only see the situation in front of us, but God is preparing us for something greater. And all of those things, God is moving him and leading him from the brook that dried up to that widow that was struggling, preparing for the funeral, now to the son dying. He's proclaiming life, and life comes back into the son. And now Elijah is going to the mountain of Carmel to see the miraculous power of Jesus Christ being shown one more time. And there's a few interesting words that the Bible says that he did. He says, how long will you fall between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then serve him. Then he has a message in the midst of everything, in the midst of drought, he still has a message. It is better to go with the Lord even in dry moments in your life than to serve other gods, than to serve false gods. And he's calling the nation. He says he began to rebuild the altar, which he took 12 stones, which is a representation of 12 tribes of the Israel. And during that time, they were divided. But God commands his blessings when there is unity. And it's a symbol that he's bringing those stones together of unity one more time, because this is where God commands his blessings. And he's putting in front of everybody that the nation of Israel being divided, it's not the plan of God. And he rebuilds the altars. And then what does he do? It's drought. He takes water and he pours on the altars. He probably could have been killed just for that. Can you imagine? People had been struggling to get water. There was drought around them. There was no dew, no rain. But no, he says, take this water and pour on the altars. What a waste probably for people around. Elijah, what are you doing? But he knew in those moments when it's drought, trusting the Lord, trusting the Lord. And the Bible says that then he says a few words, and I'll be closing with this thought. He says, I did everything according to your word. Now you send your fire. And this should be our testimony. Father, I did everything according to your word. Now you send your answer. God, I prayed. God, I got involved with brothers and sisters in prayer, and I've asked them to support me, and they're doing that. All of these things I did according to your word. But the fire, I can't do it. The miracle, I cannot manufacture. I cannot just made it up. I cannot. There's things in our life that we cannot do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. But because Elijah did everything according to God's word, God sent the fire. But what amazes me, that Elijah is not a superman. He was a man just like us. He got fearful because of Jezebel trying to kill him, because he killed all the false prophets. And now this man, full of faith, that called the fire of God to come on the altar. This man that even when the brook was there and he enjoyed the brook, when God took the water away, he had the choice to get bitter at God because God has sent him there. God has promised that he will supply for him. No, he still believed the Lord. In the moment when he came to the widow's house, he had a word from the Lord, and the baby died. He had every opportunity to say, God, again, you failed me. But he knew that God is faithful to his word. And he began to pray for this child, and life came back. And because of those dry moments in his life, he knew God to be faithful still. Even when he faced death in the face, he knew that God is still faithful to bring it to life. And now that's why he says, now send your fire. Because I've been walking with you. I've been praying to you. I've been calling upon your name, and you're faithful one more time. But he finds himself running for his life. For 40 days, 40 nights, he's walking in the wilderness where again there is no water, there is drought. But the Bible says that when he was under the broom tree seeking for his life, the word of God says that now the Lord provided again food for him, and not just food, but water. Can you imagine that? The brook was dried up. Can you imagine waking up and there's a cup of water? Not just water, but a cup probably appeared as well. Something appeared of a form that was holding that water. No longer is supernaturally the brook is drying up. No longer supernaturally God is offering water from the brook. But God himself offers supernaturally to Elijah in the lowest moment of his life, not only food, but water. Water. Whatever what he lost, whatever what he poured on the altar, now he's thirsty, his soul is thirsty. And he says, you must eat this bread and drink this water. Why? Because the journey that is ahead of you, it's too hard for you to make it on your own. You must eat and you must drink. And this is what we're gonna do coming to the table of the Lord. This is where we are getting our strength and our hope and our healing, our salvation. When we come to the Lord, to the table of the Lord, we must eat from this table. We must partake from this bread. We must partake from this juice. It's life to us. It is the life that he offered us and the victory that he offered us on a cross. Praise be to God. Jesus also was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And the enemy came to tempt him at the weakest moment in his life, where he was hungry, when he was fasting. And he says, you have the power and the authority to speak a word, and this rock can turn into bread. But Jesus knew something deeper. He knew that his Father is faithful to his promise. And he says, not by bread alone man shall live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. In different words, by every promise. By every promise I'm gonna live. And I'm gonna testify. And I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The brook might dry up, but God will show up with a cup of water. The bread might be gone, but God will give you just enough. You'll come to the cupboard, you'll open up the cupboard, there will be just enough oil, just enough flour for you and for me to make it for today. And even though we might face tests that our son might die, so to speak, our dream might die, we can proclaim the goodness of the Lord. We can come and proclaim the promises of the Lord, and that son will come back to life. And when we kind of come and build this altar and say, God, I did everything according to your word. Now you send the fire. You send the answer. You send the answer. And even when I'm discouraged and I don't want to even live anymore, supernaturally, he will show up in his faithfulness with a piece of bread and a cup of water. And this is where we're gonna come to this table to say, God, one more time, come with this water and this bread that is the word of God, and the water that is the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can partake together. Amen. So if you're here today, let's stand together. Pastor Carlos is going to come. And if you want to be encouraged today, coming to the table of the Lord, you want to respond to this message at the altars for taking communion together with all of us, grab the cup and the juice. And during this time, come to the front and we're going to be doing this together.